I've got a question for y'all this morning because I think this will kind of set the tone for an understanding of what I'm going to teach. What do you think about, Brother Theron, on a typical day, if you were asked to think about your typical day and consider your thoughts for that day, what do you think about? What do you wish you had more time to think about when you have downtime in your day? What do you spend your time filling your mind with? We're talking about how to be anxious for nothing, as the scriptures command. That's a command of God, but how do we do that? In Philippians 4:6, in our last lesson, we notice that the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to rejoice in the Lord always, overflow in reasonableness and gentleness. Why, Brother Red? So that all can see it. And that we're not to be anxious about anything. Now, God wouldn't have said that if He wouldn't have given us a provision to help us with that. The direction Paul gives that will lead to these outcomes, listen, is prayer with thanksgiving that we talked about last week. Prayer with thanksgiving, Heartland, will lead us to rejoice in the Lord always, because when we pray to God with thanksgiving, it causes us to see the Lord in the light that He should be in. It causes us to remember the things that He has done for us in the past. It causes us to remember the things that He's done right for us and things that are going right in our lives, and not so much focus on the things that are not going right. Prayer with thanksgiving will lead our lives to overflow with graciousness and gentleness for the world to see. Prayer with thanksgiving will lead our lives to be free from the strain of anxiety and worry. As Philippians 4:7 proclaims, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. How, Brother Red? In Christ Jesus. But there's one more component, church, that's necessary for this transformed life, from not being anxious about anything. Paul challenges us in Philippians 4, verse 8, to evaluate what you think about. What does your mind dwell upon in the day? What is it that you think about every day? I submit to you, as I went through those 8 filters, that God has given us provisions that will work so that we don't have to be anxious. If we will practice these 8 filters, you can set your mind at ease anytime. Can I tell you something else, church? There is a battle in your mind, Annie O, for what you're thinking about every day. There's a battle for the thoughts we dwell on. Go all the way back to the beginning and just think about, church, how the serpent tempted Eve. The serpent put into her mind that the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was desirable to eat, and that she would surely not die for breaking God's law. Satan is good. He's smart. And don't you ever think you're going to defeat him by yourself without using the filters that God gave us. In James 1, verses 13 and 14, we read that it is not God who tempts us, but temptations come from being enticed by the evil with the evil desires, rather, within us. Listen to how Jesus teaches about how the mind and the heart are the battlefield or the battleground. Jesus teaches that, and as he begins to talk about this in Mark 7, verses 20 and 23, the Bible says, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things, Heartland, come from within, and they defile a person. There is, and this is why I should say, there are so many scriptures that tell us as Christians that we must renew our minds and change our way of thinking. Perhaps one of the greater deficiencies in the Christian walk, church, is thinking that we can keep thinking the same way. When you came to Christ, when I came to Christ, Brother Scott, when you got baptized, we began the process of changing the way we think about God, the world, and ourselves. Paul, writing to that church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, says, for although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive. To do what with, Brother Red? To obey Christ. You see, church, when I think about things in the course of the day, Sister Marlowe, and I'm having thoughts, whatever my thoughts may be, I need to understand those thoughts ought to lead me to obey Christ. And if they not, then I need to get rid of that thought. But what we do oftentimes is we allow Satan to deal with us from within. And then we end up putting ourselves in a position to where we're anxious and we're full of anxiety. Even though we live in the flesh, we do not battle, Brother Scott, in a fleshy or worldly way. The weapons we possess have the divine power to tear down strongholds, arguments, and everything proud, rather, that is raised up against the knowledge of our God. Listen to this carefully. In the course of the day, I want to talk directly to you for a second. If you would just allow me, Sister Marlowe, Sister Tina, Sister Body, Brother Hayden, Sister D, Sister Tansy, Sister Brown, Sister Jameson, Sister Sheikha, Sister Sylvia, Brother Theron, Annie. Oh, listen to this carefully and listen good. Brother Scott's pointing to himself. Don't leave me out now. Come on, Brother Ed. Listen to this. We ought to take on a daily basis every thought Every thought we have, we ought to take that thought and make it obey our Lord. I want us to think of this imagery. We take every thought captive. We take every argument, every philosophy, every stronghold, every opinion, and every lofty idea, and we make it obey Christ. A little bit later, Paul expressed his concerns for these Christians at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, he says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning," watch what he said leads us astray. "Your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion." God, listen, church, does not want our thoughts to lead us astray. God wants us to capture our thoughts and make them obey Christ. God wants us to renew our mind and change the way we think. Not only do we need to take our own thoughts captive and make them obey Christ, but we need to consider the inputs in our lives that place thoughts in our minds. I want to say that again. Not only do we need to take our own thoughts captive and make them obey Christ, but we need to consider, Heartland, the inputs in our lives that place thoughts in our minds. When we wake up, we allow inputs into our thoughts from our televisions, news, and media. When we get in the car, we allow inputs from radios, podcast, music apps. When we're at home, we allow inputs from people that we're working with and the conversations we have. When we come home, we are back listening to the inputs from radios, podcasts, and music apps. When we sit down to relax, we allow the inputs from TV shows, movies, news, and media. It is in this world, church, listen, it is in this world that we are instructed to take every thought, make it captive, and make it obey Christ. So what does this really look like, Brother Red? Please come back to Philippians 4, verse 8. I told you that there were 8 filters that you ought to, when you have your thoughts, you ought to filter your thoughts through the filters that God gave you. Notice at the end of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, before we begin, Paul tells us that what we need to do is focus, contemplate, and set our mind on these things. There are 8 filters that Paul gives us to determine if we should keep our mind on these things or not. Notice the first filter as we look at it. Is it true? We are to meditate, Heartland, on things that are true, Brother Scott. We will not dwell on things that are false. Now, I think it's important to note here, church, that what is true and what is false is not defined by anybody on this call. I want to say that again. What is true and what is false is not defined by anyone on this call. We don't decide what's real or fake. God does. God defines what's true or false. God defines what is fake or real. Our first filter is if we are watching or listening to whatever we're watching or listening to, if it defies the truth that God has revealed, then we shouldn't listen to it. Why? Because we don't want to think about lies. We're not going to dwell on things that are false. Why, Brother Red? Because we want to put our mind on things that are true as revealed by the God of heaven. Our next filter, is it honorable? Church, listen, if we don't want to be anxious for nothing and set our mind at ease, then we need to think about things that are honorable. We're not going to set our minds on things that are dishonorable. Is what I'm watching or listening to or thinking about dishonoring to God? Is this something that is respectable, or is it outlandish and dishonorable? Not only must we consider if something is dishonorable in the sight of God, listen, but is it honoring others? There are a lot of things, Brother Scott, that people say and do that are completely dishonoring to other people. We must not approve of such dishonoring things. We will think on things as the Heartland Church of Christ that are worthy of bestowing our honor. The next filter, is it just? Our next filter for our thinking is if it is just and right. Church, we want to set our mind on things that are in harmony with God's standards, not yours. We will set our minds on things that reveal the righteousness of our God and not unrighteousness. We don't want to set our minds on things that are contrary to God's laws, God's ways, God's will, and God's character. The next filter challenges much of what we see and hear today. Are we setting our minds on things that are pure? There is so much on social media and so much on TV and in movies that are just simply impure, and Christians have no business watching these things. So many shows that are popular today are filthy and impure. Such programming today oftentimes is nothing more than approved pornography. I flip through the channel sometime, and we have women with less clothes than they're wearing. And that's okay now, even in the church. I submit to you it's not okay, because it impacts how you think. Are the books we're reading impure? Are the shows we're watching corrupt? Is what we're listening to ungodly? Heartland, listen. If we want to be anxious for nothing and set our minds at ease, our minds, Brother Hayden, must be placed on the things that are free from sin and immorality. Is it lovely? Here's another challenging thought filter. Is what we're thinking about taking us to things that are good, positive, and encouraging? Is the news you're watching lovely and good? Are the things that you're scrolling through on your device positive and good? Heartland, if we want to be anxious for nothing, setting your mind at ease, then what you're watching must be lovely and good. The next filter, is it commendable? Are we putting our thoughts on things that can be shared with others? Is what we are watching something that you would recommend to others? Are the things we're listening to and scrolling through things that we could recommend to other people, members of the church? Heartland, we must set our minds on things that can be highly regarded by God and his people. Do we think about things that glorify our God? The next filter is it excellent? The next filter for our thoughts is to consider moral goodness. Is what we're watching or listening to elevating your thinking in godliness? Are we thinking on the things that are of moral high level, that they elevate our walk with God? The final filter, is it worthy of praise? The final filter is, if God is praised by what we're thinking about, is God praised by what we're listening to and watching? Heartland, I submit to you that we need to learn to filter our way of thinking of what we look at, utilizing the 8 filters that God has given us. If you want to set your mind at ease, then you're going to have to train your thoughts. Here's our key teaching from this lesson this morning, and the lesson is going to be yours. I want you to get the last part of this. So as I used to have a third grade teacher, and she said, Brother Scott, she said, I want you to put on your inside ears. In other words, I want y'all to listen carefully and then the lesson will be yours. Our spiritual stability and our spiritual growth, listen, will be the result of what you're setting your mind on. Now, I want to draw our attention to the context again. What we set our minds on will allow us to rejoice in the Lord always. If we're not setting our mind on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise, Sister Jameson, we will be unable to rejoice in the Lord always. It's a waste of your time. Why, Brother Red? Because, Sister Marlowe, our hearts will be in the wrong place. This is true for Philippians 4:5. People are not going to see us as gracious, gentle, and reasonable if we are not setting our minds, Heartland, on the godly things and being a demonstration of God's character. Heartland, this is also true for Philippians 4:6. We will be anxious, and we're going to collapse under the strain of worry when we are not setting our minds on these things. The peace of God will be unable to guard our hearts and our minds when we have our hearts and our minds in the wrong place. What we think about directs our lives. And then I stop to tell you that there is power in godly thinking to tear down false thoughts and strengthen ourselves with God's truth. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your hearts above all else, for it is the source of life. This morning, as we close out, my encouragement to us all is this. We're going to have to learn to use those filters. And our thoughts that we have on a daily basis, our thoughts that we hold captive, we're going to have to take those thoughts and make those thoughts obey our God. God gave us the answer, Brother Theron, but will we do it? If you want to not be anxious about anything, follow God's instructions. He gives us 8 filters to help us process our thoughts every day. And I'll end where we started. What are you thinking about all day? On a typical day, what do you think about? Is it filtered by those 8 things that we went through this morning? If it's not, we need to rethink what we're thinking about. Heartland, listen, in 2026, I want your goal to be able to think through those 8 filters. Watch God bless us if we can. God didn't give us instruction to do something that we can't. The question is Brother Red willing to take his thoughts, hold them captive, and make them obey God's will? If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Jesus, what I'm going to encourage